today as we come to the table.
Again, amazing here. What a warning for us. Again, all of us in this room, again, using our ability that God has given us rather than sitting back and doing nothing. I don't want to lay a burden on your back. But if you're not serving God in any way, and you may be saying, but I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Here's what the Lord's saying. Do something. Don't just bury it. Do something. And if you will just be faithful to do something, I'll take it from there and I'll show you what to do. But don't let me come back and just say, well, Lord, I didn't do anything because I was afraid or I didn't have time or I didn't want to. He's saying, no, be a faithful and wise servant.
Do you ever get caught up in trying to find God's purpose for your life? The possibilities are endless, and the sheer number of options can be paralyzing. You lie awake at night worrying about trying something or missing something. In today's message, Pastor Mark is going to push you to stop worrying and do something. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Doing something, anything, is better than remaining rooted to one spot afraid to move. As you take a step forward and then another one, God has promised that His Word will be a lamp to your feet. He will show you one step at a time. But it's your job to make the step. What step can you take today toward your purpose? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew chapter 25 as he continues his message, Watching and Waiting.
Before I knew the Lord, I didn't have a great talent to sing and play, but I could do enough to go make a little bit of money, and it was all about Mark, right? And then I was, wait a minute, God gave me this. After I got saved, I realized why I had it, and for the first, you know, probably 15 years of the ministry, I was able to do worship and lead the body, and it was, you know, something we needed until we got a worship team, and I could focus more on the Word of God. But you have to recognize God gave it for a reason, and God's going to hold you accountable to use that for a reason. He's not just going to let you sit on it and not do anything with it. And that's what a lot of people, again, do. And so, again, God says, no, you're to be using this. And we're going to see how He deals with this. He's not very happy with this particular servant who does this. And notice what it says here. It says, verse 20, so he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 of the talents and said, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more beyond them. Well, actually, I skipped verse 19. I'm sorry. It says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. So that's that picture of the Lord coming back, ready to settle accounts for the gifts that He's given. Now, verse 20. So he had received the 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Interesting, God says that's a few things. When it's 100-year salary, that wouldn't be how I would see it. But he says, you've been faithful. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what I want to hear when I stand before the Lord. And I know you want to hear it. Well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to find that I'm simply ignoring God and simply, you know, not paying any attention to God and stand before the Lord and find out instead of hearing well done, I am well done, right? I want to make sure that God says, well done, good and faithful servant. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, this is where the song changes. And suddenly it goes to these minor chords and these minor tones, if you will, in your mind. And not literally a song, but you get my point. As the first two have done well, but now he comes to the one that only traded 1. And let me say this so I don't forget about it. Before we even get into that, some of you might be saying, but I can't serve right now in the traditional way of something in the church because of where my life is. God knows that. You young moms and you got kids at home, you're not going to be, listen, raising your kids, that is ministry. There may be a physical problem. There may be a mental problem. There may be some temporary reason you can't serve. Your house burned down and you're both having to work just to survive and start life over. God is not saying, look, I want to make, you know, drive everybody hard every moment of their life to serve me. His burden is light. What he's saying is our life as a whole, with the gift that we've been given, we should be working in time to use those gifts to serve the Lord. And then we're going to stand before him to give account for that. Now we come to the one who does nothing with it. Look at verse 24. It says, then he who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. In other words, I realize that you're the Lord of all things. You have, everything belongs to you. And so since you're the one in control, I mean, why did I need to do anything at all? Like, why should I even share the gospel? Those that are going to be saved, you're going to be saved. Those that are not going to be saved are not going to be saved. I don't really even need to share the gospel. And there's many people in the church throughout history that have made that particular error. And so what he's saying is, I know that it's all yours anyway. There's nothing I need to be doing. And look, I was afraid. This is a lame excuse. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. And in the language, it gives a picture of almost kind of this insulting way. Look, I didn't use yours there. What's yours is yours. Take it back, right? It gives a picture of that in the language. And so again, basically, rude and insulting to the Lord rather than being thankful for the gift that the Lord had given him that should have been used for the kingdom. Again, everything belongs to the Lord. We know that. But to be a steward over the Lord's house and to watch over his things, what a privilege and what an honor. This man obviously did not understand that or did nothing about it, even though he did understand it. And notice how the Lord deals with him. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. In other words, you know that I'm the Lord of all things. You know that everything belongs to me. But you also know that's not an excuse. I called you to serve me. I called you to take the gifts I gave you and to invest them and use them for the kingdom. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. In other words, because you had no interest, now you're going to get no reward. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has more. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And again, amazing here. What a warning for us. Again, all of us in this room, again, using our ability that God has given us rather than sitting back and doing nothing. Again, I don't want to lay a burden on your back. But if you're not serving God in any way, and you may be saying, but I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Here's what the Lord's saying. Do something. Don't just bury it. Do something. And if you will just be faithful to do something, I'll take it from there and I'll show you what to do. But don't have me come back and just say, well, Lord, I didn't do anything because I was afraid or I didn't have time or I didn't want to. He's saying, no, be a faithful and wise servant. And he takes away what that servant has and gives greater reward to the one that already has so much. So the one that already had great reward now gets more reward from those who didn't use what God gave them. And notice what he says in verse 30. And this is a problematic verse in a couple of ways. He said, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As I said, this is very clearly a troublesome verse, and I had some questions about this last week as well. Why so? Well, first of all, this is one of the master's servants, and it says here that he's getting cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, there are several different possibilities here, and I want to lay them out. I'm going to give you some of the different viewpoints that are out there. Then I'll tell you what my viewpoint is at the end. And here, number one, some say this proves that while you can't lose your salvation, because no one can take you out of the hand of the Lord, it doesn't say in Scripture you can't choose to leave it. But Mark, once somebody knows God and they know him and they see his glory, they'd never leave, right? Ask the fallen angels. That's a possibility. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. I want to make that very clear. But the Bible, because nobody can take you out of the Lord's hand. But the Bible didn't say we can't leave. That's one possibility. Some say this servant was never really a servant at all. Never really was saved. Some would say that. They never even knew the Lord. God is just using the word servant here as an analogy, as an example. Could be. Some say that the outer darkness is not really eternal separation from God, but simply the unfaithful Christian being left behind when the rapture comes, and now they have to go through the great tribulation as a consequence of being unfaithful. Could be. Personally, I hate all of those options. So here's what I believe, and here's what I want to encourage you guys. Here's where I stand. As long as you stay filled with oil, abide in the vine, and follow the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, this is a non-issue. It's a non-issue. It doesn't matter. The only person that has to worry about whether someone can leave their connection to God or whether God's going to put someone through the great tribulation, the only person that has to worry about that is the person that's not where they know they need to be. And in that case, a little bit of healthy fear, I think, is a good thing. But if you're walking with the Lord and you're filled with oil and you're connected to the vine, don't even worry about these issues. Don't get into all the theological arguments and fights. It's a non-issue. Just abide and keep your lamps filled with oil. And then when he comes back, you're ready to rock and roll. And so I want to finish here, this first section, praying that we will be those who are watching and ready. Again, it's interesting. Five were watching, five weren't. We want to be those that are watching. We want to be those that are ready. So I want to pray that we'll be ready. Also, we need to be about our Father's business. Not laying burdens on your back, but seeking God and saying, God, show us, where would you have me to serve? What would you like me to do for your kingdom so that when you do come back, I don't have much, but you gave me one talent, I'll use it. And then again, investing it in the kingdom. So let's pray and ask God to do that. Father, I do want to pray for us right now. I just want to pray for those in here that have been watching, that you would encourage them to continue to watch, continue to be ready. And Lord, for those that maybe have been shaken just a little bit this morning, maybe they've been kind of warned in a loving way that they've not been watching. And they're kind of like the five virgins that are just kind of sleeping and have no oil. They're not ready at all when the trumpet blasts. Lord, make us those that are like the five wise that have our oil ready. We don't know when you're coming, but we're watching and we're ready and we're preparing so that when that trumpet blast sounds, we're going to be going. And then all questions are settled. We will be at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And God, also I want to pray for those that may be convicted right now going, I'm not serving. I don't know where I'm supposed to serve. What am I supposed to do? I pray you begin to show them, Lord, to invest it somewhere. At least invest some interest so that they can gain some interest for the kingdom. Not out of works, but simply, Lord, as a response and love to you for the sacrifice you made on the cross through your blood in giving your life for us. Well, it's the least we can do. So, Father, I pray now you just do in our hearts what you sent your word to do, and we give you glory and praise for it and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a mini update. Here's why I had this in my heart. I've been watching a lot of things happening in our environment that kind of signals going off that I feel that, you know, I want to make you guys aware because I think the enemy may be trying to make us afraid or trying to manipulate some here coming up soon. I want you guys not to be afraid. I want you guys not to be manipulated. Let's lay some groundwork before I even share what I'm going to share. First of all, remember what the Bible says. The Bible says that Satan's desire is to be like God, and he bragged, I will ascend to the highest sides of the north. His desire is to one day, the Bible tells us, take over the entire world to play God, even though he's not God. He wants to try to be God. And God is going to allow him to do that for those who are deceived by him. He will have a temporary reign, if you will, over the earth, and the Lord will come back and take it over in the second coming. So that's what we know is going to happen. I believe if you look back historically, you'll see that's already happened a few times in history. I think the Roman Empire tried, wasn't able to. Some say Napoleon was trying, wasn't able to. I think the most recent attempt, we would say, was probably World War II with Hitler, where Hitler was trying to take over the world. We definitely see satanic involvement there, even in the language that he used, because he said, I want the German Reich to rule the earth for 1,000 years. Well, where do you get that? The Lord's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. So you see the spirit behind Hitler working in that. Satan wants to move things forward and take over. Now, at some point, God will allow him to do so. Until then, the Bible says the restrainer, which is the Holy Spirit, is restraining the move of Satan to be able to do that and not allowing him to do it. When Hitler came along, nope, can't do it, not time. All these people, nope, not time. I don't know when the time's going to be, but I personally believe that Satan is making a move again, just like he did in World War II. I believe a move has begun in the spirit to take over the world. Now, whether or not God will let him do it, we don't know. No one knows the day or the hour. And I don't say this to make you afraid, because I think before it gets really ugly, we're out of here. And that's what we talked about today. That's why we have hope. That's why we rejoice. That's the blessed appearing of our Lord. That's how we encourage what Paul says. Comfort one another with these words, not scare each other to death, right? Comfort one another with these words. So Why do I believe that Satan's making his move? Because again, with this whole thing over the last 2 years that has happened, again, I'm not denying things really happened. There were real situations, but we've seen the world being moved in mass more toward this direction of coming under the authority of a one world government, a one world system, a one world economy. We've got to all pull together to make this happen. And we're being manipulated again, I think, into this place where the Antichrist can come onto the scene and everybody just goes along with it or whatever, especially when the church is removed out of here and get everybody going. Now, if you remember when this last event popped up a couple of years ago, it was right before there could have been a major change in our nation's direction. Now remember, I believe Satan has a good thing going right now. If you look at the world leaders around the world, they're all singing the same song. Everybody's working together to move toward this one world system. And we've talked about it through the World Economic Forum and other things. And the way things are looking, the only nation that was really in the way was America. And that got moved out of the way a couple of years ago. And so you've seen now us going along and everybody kind of just going along in this thing. So Satan's got a good thing going in this overall biblical picture. However, as you guys know, inflation has hit. Gas prices have hit. And Americans are going, we need a change. We can't afford this. Things are happening. And there's this very good possibility there's going to be a major transfer of the direction of our nation here in the elections. Now remember, politics don't really matter. This is all a manifestation of the larger spiritual picture here. I believe if it goes the direction it looks like it's going to go, it will slow things down for the worldwide agenda. That is something Satan does not want to happen, which means from a spiritual perspective, I expect a lot of shenanigans. This is a larger agenda of the enemy to move the world forward. And if there really is a big turnaround in the direction of our nation, which it's looking like now in the fall, that puts the brakes on in Satan's agenda. Now, God may be doing that. That may happen. The brakes may slam on. The restrainer may, no, 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 whoa, boy, not yet, not yet. Or God may allow it to go away. We don't think it's going to go and keep on going like it's going and shock everyone and this whole thing keep moving toward that. Now, in one way, part of me goes, let's do this thing, right? I want you guys to be encouraged. Even if things do not slow down and stop and go the other direction and keep marching toward this one world union, rejoice. Your redemption draws nigh, okay? Don't panic. Just realize, all right, you got to have the baby so we can't avoid this. Now we're going to be fine. God's going to get us out before it gets too bad. So be encouraged. Don't be in despair by that if things don't go the way you think it should in a spiritual picture this fall. But I do know this. The enemy, I believe, is going to do everything he can to try to stop that from happening, which means he's got to somehow reverse the mindset of America or somehow do something to keep this from happening. And I'm watching the rumblings that happened last time. Now, hindsight's 2020. I look back at history. Nobody knew anything about COVID. You never heard about COVID at all. I'm going back that far back. And as I remember seeing a clip that dates back prior to anyone knowing anything about COVID. I didn't see it at the time. I saw it later. And then candidate Joe Biden, again, this is not political, I'm just giving you facts. Then candidate Joe Biden said, we have to get ready for the coming pandemic. And I remember going, wow, I didn't even notice that before I knew about it. But now that you know about it, you look back and go, how did he know? And pandemics only happen once every 100 years historically. The last one was in 1917. Now they're already talking about the next one, right? I'm thinking, when do we get our 100-year break? But either way, right? And I saw, you know what? This was being broadcast. You saw the work of the enemy before it ever happened. I'm seeing the broadcasting again, guys. And what do I mean by that? The hospitals are talking about, you know, we may have a new pandemic on the way. We have new, antibiotic-resistant strands that are coming up of things. They're running public service announcements in New York City right now for what happens if nuclear fallout takes place. That hasn't happened since World War II. And by the way, I'm not saying there's going to be a nuclear device. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying there's going to be fear tactics. There's going to be manipulation tactics. There's a sign up in the mall in New Jersey that says if nuclear fallout happens, if there's a nuclear blast or whatever, do this. Go inside, do it. Let me tell you something, guys. If there's a nuclear blast, run toward it. Because you're not going to get away by hiding under some table. And if you do survive, you're going to be the guy with all the big sores and tumors and everything. I'm glad we're this close to Oak Ridge. I'm just like, kids, get in the car. Because, man, glory, we're in the kingdom. You wouldn't even know it. It happens that fast, man. It's like, praise the Lord, right? But when I see this kind of stuff, all these warnings, the last time it happened, a few months later, ooh, COVID. There's a pandemic. I'm hearing all this rhetoric again. And now we're getting toward a time where our country could change direction. That's going to be fought against spiritually with everything he's got. I believe that with all my heart. My point is, Don't be afraid when you hear about the new pandemic. Don't be afraid when you hear, oh, we've all got to wear a mask again. Don't be afraid when you're, oh, we all need to lock down. Don't be afraid, oh, there may be a nuclear blast, and so we better do these things. Don't be afraid if you hear these kind of tensions growing the closer we get, because right now he's got a good thing going. He doesn't want it to stop. Now, that's up to God. We know that. But I say it not only to make you aware so that you're not afraid. I also say this. In the context of the last days with all the viruses and all the issues and all the problems going on, in that context, the Holy Spirit said through Paul the Apostle, he said, do not forsake the assembling together of believers, especially as you see the day approaching. And that is, the Lord knew we'd be facing all these things. And what he said is, go to church. Don't live in fear. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And he also speaks of the last church. He says, I've opened a door that no one can close. It just depends on whether we walk through that door. And so here's my encouragement to you. Look, we're not going to ignore the reality. If something happens where people start dropping dead around us, we're not going to just pretend it's not there. Like, have you ever saw the old War of the Worlds and the lasers are flying from all the water and this pastor's got his Bible walking toward one of them and, you know, the guy fries him or whatever? We don't want to be that guy. We're not stupid, right? But there were five wise and five foolish. The wise believe the word of God and they trust him. And he said not to forsake the assembling, which means if they don't make a stop, we're not going to. Now, again, depending on what happens, and I think something will, use wisdom. Use wisdom. Again, the big fear right now is the monkeypox thing. You hear about that. I mean, unless something's been greatly modified, it's only spread by contact, one-on-one, and it's not anything that kills you. It's kind of like, you know, chickenpox or something. I mean, it's not a big deal, okay? I don't necessarily want it, but, you know. So just don't let fear overtake you. Don't let these things happen. And realize, be praying for God to stop it. If God stops it, great. If God doesn't, then be excited that we're that much closer to the return of the Lord, because this thing's going to really move forward that much faster. And don't forsake the assembling together. I don't want to see everybody running in all directions. Now, I'm not going to show up at your house if you don't come to church. I might. I'm just kidding. Only you can know what God is telling you in your own heart. But now what they're releasing again, just to encourage you, even with what happened with COVID, even the CDC is admitting now after 2 years of data that those who caught COVID have a better immunity than those that got the shot. So God has built us a certain way to be able to adapt to these things. We need to trust him. We need to keep our eyes open, be wise, don't be foolish, and we'll play it by ear as it goes. But I expect a little bit of a bumpy road. I kind of feel like the airline guy, you know, saying, you know, again, we're flying at 35,000 feet. We're going to be some turbulence here in the next couple of months. So I think we're going to hit some turbulence the next couple of months. But the plane's not going down. Jesus is in control. I want all of you to trust him, love him, rest. And this is truly an exciting time to be alive. Guys, I mean, we're seeing something that generations have waited to see. Look, I don't enjoy higher prices and not being able to do this and all this stuff anymore than anybody else. But this is a privilege. We've been chosen for such a time as this. Let's do it with honor.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Do you remember the day you discovered the kingdom of heaven when Jesus first called your name? Just like the disciples who dropped everything to follow him, you were ready right then to give up everything else in your life to be with Jesus. As Pastor Mark goes through Matthew in this series, think back to that first love and let the flame be rekindled. Put yourself into the story and drop your nets to follow the teacher who performs miracles. And then sit at his feet and learn how to love. We're so glad you've decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7. You can find our location at calvaryknoxville.org. And if you can't make it in person, You can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net or just download the Way Media app. Well, we've come to the end of our time together for today, but Pastor Mark has much more to share as we go through the book of Matthew. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.